Thank you so much for joining us, Steve. You can just put on any headset there that you like. Steve, we were talking about this a lot yesterday. We haven't addressed it so much today. But having so – I think we had a representative – I know we had a representative from each one of the four big professional sports franchises in town across our shows yesterday. Can you think of another sports market in the country where members of all different teams come together for one charity fund like this?
No, I think it's unique to Boston, and we've enjoyed doing this. I think this is the 20th year.
The 20th.
Because I think I came here in 2003, and it's amazing that we all work together. We work with Children's Hospital, all the four teams, and many efforts together, and we're very close to all the ownership groups. So it's been a great relationship, great for Boston and great for sports fans.
Steve, how aware were you of all the rumors that were going on with some of your most important players involved in, you know, involved with the Nets?
Like, we're talking about Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart. We had Brad on the other day. He was like, oh, we had a busy offseason. He's like, no, we didn't. I was like, yeah, I guess you didn't, but other people did, and it was always regarding your best players. We're always part of some sort of trade. Maybe it's a compliment. I don't know.
I think it's a compliment. You know, we're very happy with the team, and the results for last year were fantastic. It's one of the greatest comebacks. I think the best second half NBA record for a team under 500. And there was just such a great karma about that team. It was one of those special teams in the whole 20 years that the guys were very close and they came together in adversity. And we're really happy with the team. Now, we're always in rumors. When you have great players, everybody wants your players. So Brad's job is to answer phone calls, but we're very happy with the team the way it is.
Do you follow, are you at all aware of Twitter and all that stuff? How much are you aware of what's being released on that?
Oh, absolutely. And many times I read on Twitter that, XYZ player is coming to us. And
do you call Brad right away? Say, what are you doing? Is this true?
I used to call him reasonably quickly, but after this year, I don't call him very quickly because we know what's going on. Wick and I pay close attention to what's going on, and if we haven't heard of it, it's probably not going to happen. But I am shocked at some of the things I read, and then I talk to the guys, and we never even had a discussion about that player. So, it's a funny pro sports is funny. A lot of times, clubs are trying to create a market to make a trade, and if they say we're interested, that really maybe get another club to make a trade with them because they think we're going to take the player. So we read some of these things, and you just have to laugh.
So we talk about Brad in the personnel role, but he really hasn't been in that role very long, and it seemed like he adjusted on the fly, made some moves, made some mid-season moves, and as you said, it worked. The team went on a great run. How has that worked out, that transition for him to the front office from your view?
It's been seamless. One of the reasons it all made sense is because Brad was heavily involved in we run a very integrated approach at the Celtics, so Wick, myself, Rich Gotham, the management team, plus the basketball operations folks, work together on the drafts and players and trades. And Brad is in all those rooms. He's been in those rooms for, I think, 7 or 8 years before he took the job. So it was really not that big a deal for him to assume the head job in terms of making the trades because he'd been there and seen it, seen how, that Danny worked the system, learned about that. And we still have Mike Zarin and Austin Ainge, I think, the best basketball people, with Brad and him, the best basketball people in the league. So it was a very seamless transition. And part of the reason for doing it was to keep that continuity. I mean, we've had amazing continuity for 20 years here. I think two coaches and two general managers, a new one just now, but Danny for basically the whole 20 years. And that continuity, I think, is very critical.
So, Steve, Brad was somebody who kind of moved into that role from in-house. But Ime Udoka, who we also talked to yesterday, he's someone who came totally from the outside. I know he had relationships with Jaylen and Jason and Marcus through USA Basketball. How much did you know about him before he was brought in? And how much did he surprise you with what he was able to accomplish with the team this past season?
Well, Brad ran a very large search and got it down to 3 or 4 candidates. And we had known of Ime Udoka through his work at USA Basketball. I known him, following him as a player. I always respected him as a player because he made himself a great player. So he was one of those, kind of like, go back to the old days, Paul Silas, guys who would play defense and rebound and sacrifice. And it took a very short period of time when everyone interviewed him and we finally all came together in New York to meet him. We immediately said he's kind of at the top of the class and he's the guy that we want. because of his integrity, his experience in the game, his pedigree, having worked at San Antonio, and just the fact that he's an extremely hard worker, and he's one of those coaches that he doesn't blame the players, he blames himself. He's very straightforward with the players, but if we lose, you know, the number one person he looks at is himself. And that was the same as Brad, so we felt like that'd be a great match with how we want to do business at the Celtics.
So you mentioned the big turnaround from beginning of the season last year, obviously, to the second half. So how do you make sure that doesn't happen again this year? Like, what do you need to do to make sure you start fast and you don't have this slow start?
Well, you know, last year was very different than this year. We didn't have a set team. We had brought in lots of new players. We had Schroeder and a lot of good players. And so we got off to a new coach and some things with a new system. So it took a while to sink in. And then when we kind of figured out what the core roster was and got the core players in and made the big trade, it all turned around. And the great thing about it was many franchises, and I think they make mistakes on this, as we looked at it at the halfway point, being a 500 team, we knew we were better than that. And our stat guys were fantastic because they said, had we shot our averages in the first half, we would have won 30 games and not 21 games, and we would be second instead of first. And you go through cycles. The Red Sox go through it. The Celtics go through it. Cycles of shooting. So we felt confident. We had a great core there, and then Brad made some amazing trades to strengthen that core. And everybody staying together, no backbiting, no finger-pointing. It led to just a magical second half of the season. I used to bound into the garden, into the practice facility, and versus that first half of the season, it was incredible.
So you mentioned the core, and Christian brought up the core being in rumors, but this has been Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Marcus Smart has sort of been the foundation of this. What is their relationship? Because I think we look at it from afar, and we do it all. We talk. You know, do they get along? Do they love each other? Oh, they re-signed.
You guys are paid a lot of money to talk.
but I always wonder from your perspective, what's the relationship of that core, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Marcus Smart?
It's a very good relationship. We're blessed to have players that are thoughtful, that care about each other. I know Jason from way back. I had a son playing the Duke team that he was on. So I saw him his first day ever, you know, at Duke in a scrimmage that he played. And it's funny, I ran out of the, literally ran out of the gym, and it was his first, you know, kind of real scrimmage in the game, and they let parents come in to watch the team. And I called Danny and I said, there's a kid down here. He's playing with four or five McDonald's All-Americans. He looks like Paul Pierce playing for Duke.
Yep.
And Danny, of course, who knows everything, said, yeah, I've been following him since he's 6 years old.
Oh, jeez. You know, a question for you. How, you know, Red Sox baseball analytics plays a big role. How, you mentioned just like the shooting and all the stats guys giving you information, maybe make you feel better about what's to come. Like, how much do analytics play a role in deciding lineups, game plans, philosophies?
They play a critical role, and they're not the end all be all, but they are a tool. And in a league where the teams are so even, you know, 1% edge can get you a victory. And the great thing about the Celtics is, from Danny to Brad to Ime, our entire staff have embraced using statistics as a tool. They obviously still have the gut feel aspect, and you know, watching the players out there and how they perform. But they're much more well-prepared for the nuances. You know, the stat guys will say, this player shoots 20% if you push him to his right from this spot. If he goes left, he's going to score 60% of the time, so overplay him. And then our coaches use that data to prepare us for every game, and it's been very valuable, and it's given us the edge.
We're talking to Steve Pagliuca, a Boston Celtics owner. So I'm wondering, because the news that broke, I think it was maybe 2 weeks ago, is that legalized sports gambling is coming to Massachusetts. Is a sports book something that the Celtics would entertain, obviously along with the Bruins as well, having it in near or in the same building with TD Garden, North Station, that kind of thing?
You know, we haven't talked about it, but, you know, Adam Silver at the league level, you know, has always been supportive of saying, you know, there was so much illegal gambling, we'd better to have legal gambling in a system where there were checks and balances and fairness. So I think we'll evaluate that as it comes along and see what makes sense for the fans and see what the issues will be.
Speaking of betting, I asked Ime yesterday, so I don't know if you guys are aware, you're the favorites to win the NBA title, according to Vegas. 5-1, I believe, is
yeah,
the number.
Yeah, I hate to hear that, but
yes, you're the hunted now. You're absolutely the hunted.
That was the word yesterday that we kept hearing from Ime and Brad.
Correct.
Is that they know they have a target on
their But he also said that's the plan. As a competitor, you guys were two games shy of the ultimate goal. Is that one of the things, like, great season, or nope, now let's finish?
Well, you know, I think it's both.
Yeah.
You can't say bad season.
Right.
And, you know, we were playing against a transcendent player, Steph Curry. It's amazing what he did in those games. And I think we kind of got worn down. It was a long season for us. We had some injuries. We played many seven-game series. And Brad has done an amazing job creating a very deep team now. You add Gallo and you add Brogdon, you know, Malcolm Brogdon. I used to watch him at UVA. He's an amazing player. So we've now gone from an excellent team that made it from two games to a team that has even more depth, and Ime can mix and match different players, and so I'm very excited about the season. I don't like being, you know, ranked first. It's better to be the underdog, but it's a very strong and deep team, and again, high character team. You know, Jason, Jalen, Marcus, the whole team, they've been wonderful to work with. So I enjoy coming to work every day and stepping in that facility.
So as soon as the sports books are open, I'll put my money down on you guys, and it's a good bet.
You know, I can't advise on that. I'm not allowed to bet or advise, but I'm hoping for the best.
One last question, because I got to go out to the Chase Center to cover those first two NBA Finals games. When you, I don't know if you got to go out there in person
I was at every playoff
game. Okay, so every playoff game out there, did you
I flew
sit
from
there?
Tokyo for the Miami game, so that was the longest I've
wow.
come.
Wow.
17 hours, got there at 8:20, I think it was 7:55 or an 8 o'clock tip.
So sitting in that brand new arena, did you get nervous at all? Like, oh man, we're going to have to start putting, I know you guys just put in some upgrades to TD Garden, but like looking at the Chase Center, that was, I think Bill Belichick would have called it the Taj Mahal
yes.
of basketball facilities.
You know, it's kind of, it's California, Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
it's Northern California.
Yeah. They're coming close to Southern every day, right? some of the tech magnates are more like movie stars than the movie stars are.
It's true.
But it's a very nice arena. They've done a fabulous job. But I kind of like the grid of the garden. You know, they have lots of famous people. You know, we have Donnie Wahlberg some of the blue collar actors, and it's fun every time you step in the building. And I think the buildings come out fantastically.
It's beautiful.
Seen the spaces in the back that they've built, and meeting areas and the bar areas. Yeah, we're thrilled with how the stadium is and the atmosphere.
All right, Steve Peluccia of Boston Celtics ownership. Thank you so much for joining
us.
We
didn't talk about the most important thing, which is our $25,000
donation. Let's go. What are we doing?
Buried the lead, they say, in the newspaper business.
What are we doing?
I didn't get the note on that. $25,000.
$25,000.
All right. I don't
awesome.
Know what that brings us to exactly, but $25,000, that is a huge donation.
That's burying the lead.
Yes, in the news business, burying the lead.
That's breaking news is actually what we call
we're
it.
We're excited about
it.
It's
awesome.
We're really excited about it.
It.
I think it's our 20th time here, and we love this thing that you guys do. And I have a niece that has cancer that's benefited by all the advances, and we couldn't be more happy with what you're doing, and power to you, and hope you'll break and meet new records.
Absolutely.
That's incredible.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you very much.
Good luck this year.